I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. Apes that ain't fool.
All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with your Leopards, Jim, wearing co-host, Will. How you doing, Will?
I'm good. You woke me up from my like 1.5 minute nap after watching the Notre Dame Duke game, and I woke up and it was right when Sam Hartman made that fourth down conversion. And I was like, all right, let's talk about this boring ass football team that is the Duke Blue Devils.
Just so y'all know, we are undefeated when Will wins. Will wears his leopard skin look-alike quarter zip fleece while recording podcasts. So
no zip, all buttons, sir.
Oh, sorry, buttons. If you're in the pod chat, I'm going to post a picture because it is phenomenal.
Yeah, we got to get the helmet in the background if we're going to do that. I'll move it in a minute.
So we had an episode earlier this week with you and James basically bantering at each other for an hour and a half, and it was one of the most well-received episodes we've had. Wow. Like today, I got a bunch of comments about it, and this all week, I'm like, man, that was a great episode. How do you feel after that conversation? Is there anything you would like to add? You know, I know I do it all the time. I think about, oh, I should have said this. How do you feel about that, the conversation with James?
Yeah, I just want to add the explicit tag because James was cursing so much. I wish I had gone back and listened to it. I've been reseeding my lawn for like 30 hours this week, and I probably could have. I thought it was a really good conversation. You know, I mean, I think it's easy to look at the Marshall game and find the reasons to subdue expectations or reduce them slightly, but I think it's good that we've got some semblance of offense so we can have those kind of debates, quote unquote. I didn't think it was much of a debate. I thought we were all kind of on the same side, but you know.
Fair enough.
I thought it was so funny. I was listening to a pod he recorded before our pod. And he brings up, he's like, my guy Baxter C is saying this on the forums. I'm just like catching strays. And I was like, oh, I took it easy on you, I guess.
it was a good listen. I think I always appreciate James's time when he comes on, and our conversations are never dull. I mean, he and I go back and forth for a while, pretty much every week about one of these things. His podcast came off different than I think how he really believes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we got down to that point there.
Well, I was going to say, it must have been a good listen because you got to miss like 25 minutes of it on a call.
That's some inside baseball there. I was on a conference call for work while doing a podcast in the other ear. And that's why I had a good, you know, 20, 30 minutes in there where I didn't say anything. And
yeah, I thought you like put a message in there at one point. You're like, oh, great, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we're not listening or talking to you currently.
That's why it was so well received. I didn't say anything. I just thought about that. It's a great podcast one. I don't have to speak. Yeah.
Just let two bullshitters bullshit for 30 minutes. It was great.
State goes into Durham tomorrow night. I think there's a lot of unknowns, but after last week, there's a bit of optimism from most folks. But I'm going to read you Dave Dorn's quote from, I guess it was today's presser before his pregame presser. On the receiver stepping up, I'll tell you what, man, we had a great practice today at receiver. I was so impressed with the way they ran and caught the football. Terrell Timmons and Anthony Smith are two guys that have practiced really well the last couple weeks. There's just kind of a mindset of, oh my gosh, look at this guy make plays. I want to make big plays. Well, look at how he's practicing. Maybe I should practice a certain way. Then it starts to get contagious in there, and it starts to happen. Like I said from the beginning, this offense in it, year one, it's growing, it's evolving, it's not where it's going to be. It's getting closer and closer, and we're going to start identifying skill sets. I know people want things now, and so do we, but that's not reality. It takes time sometimes to figure out what you're going to have, how to do it, and how to deal with the injury piece. We've had a lot of those to deal with throughout the years. Exciting to see the growth, and hopefully you'll see that in the game on Saturday night. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, greatest decoy quote of all time. Neither of those two are going to get any snaps tomorrow. We're going to destroy them on the underneath routes all night. I mean, that was music to my ears, or eyes or whatever. Like the, I'll believe it when I see it. Whether, you know, I'm curious if there was some injuries, because it's kind of odd how he kind of lumped that all together. It's like, he's not really talking about the defense there. Maybe he's talking about the
just the team
offensive line and stuff. Yeah, I will lose my I've cursed way too much to start this. I will lose my stuff if Terrell Timmons and Ant Smith are in the game at the same time. It'll probably be like the greatest overthrow of all time, but it'll be good.
You can't overthrow Ant. Just throw it, MJ. Throw it to him.
He'll catch it. Him. Or he won't.
It makes me wonder, like, what has triggered in Dave's mind, right? We're playing MJ. You saw some life on offense. Whether they simplified it or not, who cares? We scored points. They moved the ball, had some explosive plays. Like, I wonder if things are starting to catch on. Like, okay, we need to put more explosive players in. We need to put our young guys in and let them play. Or if it's just what he says. They had a good week in practice, and that's it.
Didn't you find the practice habits contagious comment? Like, what do you think that says? Like, are the older guys not doing it? Like, are Bradley Rosner and them cruising? Like,
I did raise an eyebrow at that. I'm not, you know, considering it's obnoxiously optimistic October, I'm going to put it on the team is more energized that MJ is in. We've seen that on the field. I think the offensive line blocked better last game. I think there was just a little bit more bounce in everybody's step. And I think a lot of that's due to how much they gel with MJ as opposed to the mercenary QB they brought in. I think there's some real, you know, stuff to that.
Does it give you like Leary 2019 vibes? Is that the season? That's the season he showed up, right?
Yeah.
He popped in for like the BC game, threw three touchdowns, and we're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, and you're like, that guy should have been playing the whole time, right? Yeah, exactly.
And too bad he was dumb as bricks.
I was listening to Cover 3 today.
Man, they were killing him. Week,
and they killed him. They're like, he's been terrible, he's bad, blah. I was like, oh my goodness. And Mark Stoops threw him under the bus last week, too. So it's just like, everybody's piling on.
Well, they were making fun of, like, they were like, Mark Stoops complaining about needing NIL money. And they're like, I don't think Devin Leary came to the, this was on the Yahoo Sports maybe. I don't think he came there to see the Foles, you know, and enjoy the beautiful hillsides or whatever they're saying. Like, yeah, you probably paid him quite a bit of money. And I don't know. Devin Leary, I was just kind of thinking back on it, would have been great in like one of the Big Ten schools. Like, I don't know what he was thinking going to UK. That's just a terrible match, I think.
Yeah.
But he ain't here no more.
It's a great match. Yeah, but it does give me some of those vibes, right? You bring in the young guy and the guy with the upside, and there's a little bit of bounce there by step. And I just, we saw that last year with MJ when he came in. And, you know, he has ups and downs, but I think everybody was a little bit more energized because of his leadership and, you know, how he approaches the game. And I think you'll see that.
Yeah.
And I think you don't have a left-handed quarterback anymore. So now we can evaluate things properly.
Yeah, now your brain's not trying to piece it together backwards and being like, what am I seeing?
I think that affects the offensive line, right? I do think there's some bit of that, you know, the backside is now the front side and whatever. I do think the left-handed thing, especially in the short term, right? He came in, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whenever it was. I think there's some validity to the left-hand, right-handed thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, it's stuff like that play call at the goal line that we were talking about this week with, you know, Mims is the fourth read, but he's wide open. And it's like, okay, well, if you're a right-handed quarterback, you're looking across your body, but you're probably coming back and seeing it. And so, I mean, we're going to see Brendan Armstrong. He's going to play this game. He's going to probably play every single game. He's going to come in there for short yardage. And I just, let's just hope it's more efficient. It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I think this is the third night game of the season for Duke. And every time they show the crowd and the, I don't know if they're miking it up in a way that makes it sound super loud, but like Notre Dame was false starting like crazy. And so I'm just wondering, like, are we going to risk bringing in Brennan after you've got MJ in there all game and changing the cadence? And okay. I don't know. So curious to see how this all plays out with him, but I'm sure we'll see him.
So Duke is going to be without Riley Leonard, by all accounts. We know how this goes. We've heard this story before, and I'll reference Sam Howell. He's not going to play, and everybody said it, insiders, outsiders, protagonists, analysts, they all said Sam Howell is not playing. Sam Howell played, and he looked fine and played well. Hearing the same thing for Riley Leonard, that he's not going to play, and it's going to be, and I already forgot the guy, kid's name, Henry something or other, Harry something or other.
Bales
or something like that, where not a runner, big kid, big arm. I don't expect Riley Leonard to play, and I kind of want him to play, and here's why, because if he's coming off a high ankle sprain, that limits his mobility, and that's really what is his bread and butter. And, you know, being NC State, we are kingmakers with the backup quarterbacks. I don't want to make another king out of a backup quarterback. It does concern me. Like, I know I'm not the only one who's thought about that this week. Others are like, backup quarterback. No, we don't know anything about him. Yeah. Makes me concerned.
Yeah. I mean, the BC game was like the worst offender of the backup quarterback and all the backup offensive linemen kingmaking. I don't know, man. Riley Leonard, is he not just like slightly fancier Brendan Armstrong?
I think he's Brendan Armstrong without the dumb.
Okay.
He doesn't do stupid things and he makes plays, but I think they are very much propensity to scramble.
Yeah.
And, you know, tuck it too early, but I think his decision making is exponentially better than Brendan Armstrong, from what we've seen this year.
Yeah. He just, the little bit that I've watched of Clemson, or not of Clemson, geez, of Duke this year, I've just kind of walked away, and then I go and look at the box score, right? And I'm just like, why are we talking so much about this guy? Like, when he's loose and mobile and running, he looks good. They've dropped a ton of passes. Like, just, I don't know. Watching that game again tonight, I was just like, I don't see the Leonard that we saw last year. And then I always wonder, is it like the first year effect where no one's taking them that seriously or has enough info on them or hasn't game planned all season for them? And now, you know, they pop off and then they cool back down. It's like the same with Howell and Drake, in my opinion. I wonder if we're kind of seeing a similar thing with Leonard, where everyone was kind of overlooking him last year, and, you know, there's some game plans actually put together and they're getting stopped. But I don't know. I'm really curious to see what happens with, I assume Gibson's going to just game plan like it's Leonard and then adjust to whatever this kid is. I don't know. It's kind of funny just watching all the motions and stuff that they do and kind of how discombobulated we've been at times this season. I do think that they're going to break off a play or two, on offense. Just, I could see something go wrong, especially with all the safety in and out that we've had recently. And I guess, you know, Dave's like, we're like at last man on the roster now at that spot. I don't know. It's annoying to have like no idea what that quarterback's going to do. I watched a little bit of the Lafayette highlights and I was just like, well, I can't take anything from this.
It's funny to me that Duke is what Dave wants to be, or Dave's wanted NC State to be. Good defense. I think Duke defense pretty solid. Strong run game and hard-nosed running quarterback. that is efficient, makes good decisions. Right. This is everything that Dave has wanted to be. Elko has got in year two. And it's interesting to me. I do think State matches up well with what Duke tries to do. I think our run defense is pretty good. And if this kid is just a thrower, you know, will he be able to exploit our porous safeties? But, I think our DBs have been pretty strong. And how does Duke look to exploit the revolving door that is our safety position with all the injuries and whatnot? I think that's kind of going to determine it. I just think we match up well for what Duke is trying to do. And I do think they are well coached. They're going to be disruptive on defense. But I do think it comes down, again, to our offense. You know, can we be productive? Will they, you know, be able to move the ball and have explosive plays? It's a pretty good matchup. And this game is always close, man. It doesn't matter who's good, who's bad. You know, we don't play this Duke very often. But every time they do, it's close. And I remember Duke being terrible and us being terrible and Duke winning and us winning. And it's just a weird game. But as it should be, it's a rivalry game. It's a, you know, down the street neighbor game, even though we don't play them very often. It's always going to be a close game. And I think this one's no different. It's going to be a good matchup. I think we just match up well with them and they match up well with what we're trying to do. So.
Yeah, it's ironic that we complained about not getting to play Duke. And then, of course, we square up with them. The first year, and it's like when they've got an awesome defense all of a sudden. You know, just can we, I don't know. Like, I was looking at it, too, just, like, looking at Duke's schedule so far. And, you know, basically it's been, they've had, like, four bye weeks as far as I'm concerned. Because Lafayette, Northwestern, and UConn, I mean, like, getting UConn with no quarterback and, like, no players. Must have worked out well.
They got UConn after we beat up on them, right?
I mean, that's right. That's right. That's really what happened. Yeah. I will say, I can't remember if I was what I was listening to, which pod, but I was just kind of watching Notre Dame in that game, and then them losing to Louisville, and it's like I wonder how beat up Notre Dame was at that point, having played us, which was like not as physical as a game as you would expect, but. Ohio State, and then Duke, and then Louisville. So I'm curious if that was, like, everything kind of coming out in Duke's favor. Like, they looked fresh. They had the home crowd. You know, it's just going to be really interesting to see, like, are their fans going to show up for this game? Is the energy going to be there? Is Tony Gibson just going to be, like, super aggressive and just try to hit this guy over and over? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think they will. I think that's going to be exactly the game plan, is disrupt him, make him uncomfortable, and see how he reacts. I mean, it's 100% what's going to happen. And I think they'll come out early and often in coming at him. Plus, that's what Tony Gibson likes to do anyway, so it's probably an easy guess. A couple questions from the folks in regards to this game. Over under 275 all-purpose yards for MJ.
Oh, man. Do we know what he had last game with Marshall?
He had 260 passing, I think, and, a few on the ground, not a ton. Oh,
man.
It's a good line.
Duke's really good on defense. Just, like, watching their defensive line, just watching, like, a Notre Dame center get launched backwards into the quarterback multiple times in the game, I was just like, oof. Just thinking about our interior. So I'm going under. I think we're going to have explosive plays, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to have to scramble. I don't know. I got no confidence right now. I mean, I think we're winning, but it's like, I cannot tell you how it's going to go. I feel like this could be a game where the defense gets some multiple interceptions or turnovers and gives us short fields, which could then constrict his yardage. So I'm going to go under.
Over under total TDs by MJ, 2.5.
Under. I think it's going to be 2.
I'm going over on that one. I think he'll throw for 2 and maybe get a QB sneak or something in there if they don't swap him out.
No, that's going to be Brennan.
Probably give it to Mims, actually.
Mims and Brennan, I guarantee you will get a goal line TD if that's an option.
That should be an option. I need to check the Vegas lines and see what the over under Mims TDs are. I bet you it's pretty close.
What's the over-under for this game?
I think it was 44, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, let me check.
It was pretty low. Let's see what some other questions here while you're looking at that. It's a better podcast guest, James Henderson, or the dude from the ECU podcast. I'll tell you what, while you're looking that up,
it's 44.
I listened to the Boneyard podcast the other day. They were on live, so I tuned in. The boys are in a bad spot. ECU's 1-5, and no hope right now. They are sad. They were talking about volleyball and women's basketball and everything else. And at one point, he was just saying, we're not a football school. We're an Olympic sports school. I was like, hey, that makes two of us.
Wow.
But no, he was that whole podcast and the ECU fan base is on tilt right now. It's wild.
Is it baseball season yet for them?
No, not yet, but there's like 8 baseball seasons, so it's probably getting close.
Oh, man.
Did you find the line?
Yeah, 44.
Okay, so it is
44. Them favored 3.5, so... Uh-huh. So what is that, 24, 21, kind of what they're predicting, somewhere around there?
Pretty close. 3 TDs, though.
Yeah, that does make it interesting. I think, kind of from watching, like, the Duke defensive line looks really good. The rest of them are kind of like, meh. Like, I'm not crazy impressed, but, you know, I guess my question is, like, when I'm watching that Notre Dame game, like, that tight end just, like, ate them alive.
Yeah.
And I'm debating, like, does that mean Trent Penix can do that? Does it mean we can scheme KC in position? Wait, did you just say something?
That's just secret weapon.
Oh, yeah. It's not so secret anymore. We stopped playing possum or whatever. Like a zombie for Friday the 13th. He just came back. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, maybe, man, it's going to be interesting. Like, does KC have anywhere close to the game he just had? Is he going to get that many touches, or is he going to be taking away a lot of attention that allows a Timmons or Rosner or Lussane to finally show up? Because I just don't think the Duke DBs are, like, that great. That's how I feel about that. That's it.
That's your
analysis. I don't even know what the question was.
The people want to know what bourbon you're drinking tonight. It doesn't look like you have a drink in your hand, so I don't
know. No, I'm just drinking water. We had I had a Victory Sour Monkey earlier, and we just had some Mexican, so I don't think I'm gonna have whiskey tonight. I don't know. I think when I last checked, I was at 18,000 steps today, and you know, about 17,900 of them were in the yard, and I'm really tired, so. If I have a whiskey, I'll probably pass out immediately.
I'm all over the place, but I'm just going through some of these questions. Do we keep Terrell Anderson? So for those who have not been, yeah, this is way out in the, I told you all over the place. Those who have not been following along, Terrell Anderson, NC State's, one of NC State's prize offensive recruits, went on a visit with his friend to UGA. And then, you know, magically UGA offers him.
Terrible friend.
Georgia lost a recruit, and now they're coming after Terrell Anderson. And, you know, all the crystal balls and whatnot have flipped. Do you think this is repercussions of being boring offensively for the first 5 games, or is it just, hey, Georgia's Georgia?
Well, it's both, but I mean... Primarily, it's Georgia. Like, you'd be crazy if you're a really good wide receiver, especially if you felt like you got disrespected and you had to only get recruited by the likes of the NC States, which is not true. I think he actually had more offers. It's not surprising. I do wonder, right? Like, oh, well, you just kind of slow roll your way through games and you look like, you know, just like a drunk badger half the season. Like, it's not fun to watch, and I, you know, we've struggled to get big time playmakers, and part of the, I think offense has definitely been a part of it. It's also just been unfortunate with like the injuries and whatnot. Like, I think if we're healthy, we beat Louisville, and then we're talking about a 5-1 NC State team, right? The only thing I could hope is like maybe Georgia's got some other you know, fire somewhere, you know, another person that they could pick up. But I mean, until signing, I mean, he's gone.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's just no chance we're flipping that back.
We don't have I think there is some repercussions from having a anemic offense. I don't think it's all part of it. I think there is some legit concern. But I think, you know, majority of it's Georgia. I always find it interesting. These kids go to these schools and then ride the pond and, you know, don't get the playing time. Like, I mean, I get going to Georgia and being part of all that, but don't you want to play? Like, to me, I want to play. I would go to a mid tier program and play if I could, you know, be the star there. I think that's probably more interesting to me than going and riding the pond.
I mean, right? If you can take 3 years, if you can redshirt and then try for a year or two to crack the roster, and if you like legitimately crack the roster, then great. I just, we'll see, man. I mean, already the Georgia this year doesn't look like Georgia of previous years, so right. Maybe some of that shine will come off, but it's so hard because they've had kind of a cupcake schedule. I don't think, like, there's a legit chance that by the end of the regular season, they may not have a win over anyone that's in the top 25, which is crazy. I saw that,
which is wild.
But, you know, I mean, at the same time, it's like if Alabama comes or Georgia comes or USC comes or someone like that, like, comes in and offers someone, Ohio State, it's really unrealistic to think an NC State can hold that kind of recruit and hold off that kind of attack, basically.
My hope is that Georgia has somebody higher on their board or that they flip, you know. I know they're going to an Alabama commit and probably a Miami kid. I just hope they have other people higher on their board, but it doesn't seem like it sounds like
it's crazy that this seems like it was Miami getting a UGA commit after that disaster, right? And then that set this into effect, and so it's just like, you know, like, why would you want to go play at Miami, bro?
Recruiting is so frustrating, and that's why we don't really pay too much attention to it. Yeah. I can't imagine being a coach and having to do this and like deal with this, like it just,
I'd just be buying those players, stuff. Evan.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be slinging my $1 million paycheck somewhere else.
Can you believe that Mark Stoops was popping off about Georgia NIL like that? And
yeah, and that's why, you know, the Yahoo Pod was ripping him, like, you didn't get these guys for free. Yeah, it's silly.
Oh my gosh. And then Georgia's like, well, you know, we need help raising money too. And I'm like, F you guys.
Give. That's the name of the game. Everybody wants you to give your money, make you feel like a bad fan. You know, got to get those players. Don't worry about the $8 million Kirby Smart's making or the, you know, $7 million that Mark Stoops is making. Nah, donate some of your hard-earned paycheck so I can recruit some players. I'm just like, yeah, come on now.
I'm just waiting for a coach to be like, you know what? I think I can put $1 million into that NIL account.
It's a no-brainer. I don't know why you
wouldn't. It's got to be against the rules.
I don't know why you wouldn't. Why wouldn't Dave send $1 million in Bitcoin to Gopher Tom or whoever else and just say, hey, look, you know, these are my targets. Like,
you tell me he's not using Doggy Ecoin?
I'll give him a briefcase full of cash while you're on a fishing boat, right? I mean, there's got to be something. That's what I would be doing. I would find any way to. It's a lot less against the rules than Dave handing a wad of cash to Terrell Anderson and say, hey, bud, keep, you know, stay here, which is what coaches have been doing for years. You know, it's
not very blue collar.
I would find a way to take some of my fat paycheck and get it to my NIL guys in with the goal of, you know, knowing I need to buy some players. I mean, this is how it's going right now, and I'm the best resource. So
this is why I don't freak out about, like, how much money we have, because I guarantee you in the future we're paying Dave, what, $5 million right now, and I don't know, what's the rest of his staff? Maybe it's $4 million there. Let's just say it's $9 million. in the future, you could definitely hire someone and be like, all right, well, we're going to pay you less, you know, half of what we were paying Dave. But all that extra money, it goes into buying players and paying for them. And I bet you those coaches will be like, cool, man. I just want the best players.
Yeah.
I'll coach. Like, I'm not, I don't know. You just start thinking about how much money these guys are getting, and you're like, Mark Stoops is getting $8 million a year, which is crazy. You know, and then being like, well, we don't have any money.
Just come on. Mind-boggling to me.
Come on.
This is probably a better question for you. I'm terrible at these things. Tell us a story about the most elitist Duke fan you've ever met. I feel like you'd have a good one. Most of my Duke friends only pipe up during basketball season. And usually they're not even talking trash about us. They're talking trash about Carolina. It's different than like Carolina fans to me. You know, the Duke fans that I know are, again, more basketball focused, and we're no threat to them in basketball. So it's never really, you know, they don't really come off like that. I know I've probably got some better Duke stories, but I can't think of any.
I can't think of any either, to be honest. Like, I mean, I hardly ever cross paths with them. The only person I'd say I have like 1 degree of separation from was my childhood friend. Ended up going there, but I mean, I haven't reconnected with them except maybe like one time. So there, that's how elitist they are. They give up on childhood friends.
Actually, I take it back. The most elitist Duke fan is Ben Swain on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's the one, just his snarky, I don't know. I don't like anything about his persona on Twitter. I don't know the guy.
I put the whole
Devil Wolf thing beforehand. And he's a state grad too, which makes it all worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, one of our own. Come on.
Yeah.
I think he's been on mute or blocked for decades.
Yeah,
so now.
A long time.
I'm just trying to think. No, I mean, I've had some great times over at Duke, partying and things like that, but
I'll tell you, I just
don't cross paths with them.
I had a friend working at Wake Forest, so I went to the Wake Duke game in Cameron, and I'm wearing a white shirt. Like I wasn't participating, pulling for anybody. And one of the Wake dudes made a ridiculous dunk and just posterized somebody. And I don't remember who it was. And I was like, oh, you know, just cheering. And this old dude turns around and just chews me out. He's like, you're not welcome here. And, you know, this is, and he just went on and on. I'm like, dude.
Well,
I'm like, I didn't say anything. I'm not pulling for either. I hope they both lose. And he just, yeah, that was obnoxious. Just a super old guy sitting right in front of me. And I was not really pulling for anybody. I was pulling for entertainment. And I just, that's my experience at Cameron. I've had a couple experiences like that where just the fans are just grumpy old Duke fans. But it's, again, basketball season. Anytime we go there during football, there's nobody there. Now, that probably changed tomorrow, but.
It will.
They're still, you know, they don't come out of the woodwork until they're good, and then it's basketball season. Duke hate.
Oh, sorry.
You're good.
I was going to say, I've just been shocked with all the, when I clicked in to watch the games, at least against the Clemson and Notre Dame, them like panning around and showing how many people are at the stadium. I'm like, I guess Duke, I guess everyone is invested in Duke football. That's why I'm kind of like, can you believe this is MJ's first road game?
I found that hard to believe. First start, right?
No, Syracuse technically in the dome was his first road game. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And they were drunk and loud that day.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of state fans there. I have no doubt it'll be at least 40% red. That's how it'll be. I just don't have that many elitist Duke stories. I know there's some more, but.
I think we're just living our life the right way, and so we're just not interacting with them.
Yeah, that's probably true. They're just not as obnoxious to me until Duke wins, and then they start piping up. Unlike Carolina fans who are just obnoxious all the time.
Yeah, they hit that nine and they stay there.
The majority of them did not go there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually more obnoxious to me when I watch, like, I don't know why people do this, but when people spell Duke D-O-O-K, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Just call him Dookie. I mean, like, let's go the full route if we're going to do it. Give me...
Yeah, it's the Clemson with the P thing. I was like, I don't know. It's silly.
Clemson.
All right. How are you feeling about this game overall? What's your...
Oh, we're going to, like, smash them, dude. It's going to be, like, 35-7. I mean, that's what I felt all day. I was just like, man, is it just not, like, everything's gone right for them this year? Like, Clemson just, like, barfing the ball up, like, 10 times for them. Notre Dame just, I mean, actually, Notre Dame just, we made Notre Dame look better on offense than anyone else has, and I'm blaming a thunderstorm for that. Yeah. So, I just don't know what to expect. And, I mean, Riley Leonard just, when you go back and just watch how much of it is him making things happen, if, I don't know, I think this could easily be, like, a 24 or 28 point game for us because their defense is good. And they're like sitting there just grinding out at like 10 or 13 points. Like, they have not looked anything like the offense from last year. Like, last year they were putting up points, but they also were beating teams with like 2 wins total. So, I don't know, man. I think they're a little bit of a paper tiger, but their defense makes them look, I don't know. It's probably like playing us, to be honest. Like playing us with Brendan Armstrong.
I'm reading, just came across, somebody sent me this tweet. By 2026, 6 schools could be added to the Big 12, as your mark wants to get to 22 teams with 2 11-team divisions for a 10-game round-robin conference schedule. Washington State, Oregon State, Louisville, Pitt, NC State, and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, no thanks. Why would I want to go be in... Just break the ACC up into, like, you know what would make the ACC great is if you could just make it 12 teams, or no, sorry, yes, make it 12 teams, and then break them up into 2 divisions and have everyone play home and home, and then we switch over the next year and we play the other group home and home. Like, let's just make it like a little NFL. Like, if you're going to just get weird in the future, let's just get weird. I do not want to go play in the Big 12. I have zero desire to play those teams. Like, there's no geographical connection for us there. Like, it would be so boring. And, like, you know, Houston and West Virginia were playing the other night. I, like, watched it for like three minutes. It was so quiet. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if, like, people at Houston weren't there. Or if it was,
Houston's
like,
not very good, so I don't think anybody's at that game.
Yeah, so, like, I was just sitting, I was like, well, why would I want to play in this conference? This sucks. And Devin Carter's there.
Notre Dame to the Big Ten. ACC can break up with as many as 10 schools with offers to the SEC, Big 12, and the Big 10. The rest not offered in the same boat as Washington State and Oregon State. Interesting.
ACC would just be better off if you could just eject 3 teams.
See you, Wake Forest.
Or I guess 6 now. I mean, why would we go there? First off, our TV deal is currently better than theirs. And them adding more teams is not going to make their TV deal better. Like, I think they are just living on the clicks right now.
Internet speculation. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, they're Deion Sanders in conference form.
Right.
Literally.
Virginia Tech student associate coach and former offensive lineman was arrested for stealing campaign signs put up by his mother-in-law, who's running for. Board of Supervisors. What a random ass. Why are people sending me these things?
Oh, y'all, man. Crazy. Well, often. I don't know. I wanted to make a joke, but now I can't think of a good one.
Yeah.
I got that's crazy.
Over under Ant Smith receiving yards. Set the line.
42.
42?
Yeah. One big play.
Over. Yeah. He's going to get a 65 yarder. Over.
I cannot believe if he does not play after bringing him up, that is going to be the first thing I would ask incessantly. Like, you mentioned Anthony Smith. Why did you get us excited?
Yeah. Over under 2 Terrell Timmons jumps to catch balls.
Over. Because I think we are going to actually just try to take deep shots. I think that's how we're going to play this game.
I think so too. You got anything else? I know it's short, but I don't have a whole lot. I think it's going to be an interesting game. It'll be a good game. Duke's good. We're pretty good.
Didn't someone ask about some whiskey or something?
Oh, yeah.
I looked this up just for them.
I recently got a Bowman Brothers small batch gifted to me. What's your thoughts?
I haven't had it, but I looked up this review and I just love this quote. The finish. Quite a bit of spiciness that makes it seem as if someone dropped a jalapeno in my glass. No, it's not a hot finish, but a spicy one.
So random. There you go. Bourbon reviews.
Now I'm going to have a bourbon. Jeez.
We'll need a few tomorrow night, I got a feeling. It'll be a sloppy game.
I think it's the first game of the season that I'm watching with another state fan, so
really?
It's gonna get nuclear here.
Bold. That's bold.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I gotta say it, and I put this tweet out. Went to the state marshal game. It was my first game this year. And love the scoreboard. It's awesome. It's huge. Sound system sounds great. You can actually hear what's happening. The, you know, the lighting's is fantastic. It was overall actually really good experience. And, you know, we've had some complaints before. We got in and out, no problems. I know some other people are complaining about traffic and whatnot, but, you know, it is what it is. But they've really improved the overall experience at Carter-Finley, and it's enjoyable. I don't think you've been to a game yet, but when you get a chance, that's right. You're on the way to the Notre Dame game. We start running. But yeah, a really, really nice job.
Did it convince you to give $25,000 over 5 years and join the Red Wagon Crew Club?
Nope. They gotta sell me harder than that. I don't. My feelings on all of this are well known. So you gotta come with a really good sales pitch if you want my money.
Give us the incentives for donating $1,000 a year, and I bet you'll get five people. You know, like, I mean, when I saw the numbers, I was like, damn, that's, isn't that just going to be basically the same people that are already giving you money?
Clearly somebody's listening to our ideas because they keep coming out with things and we're like, oh, we just talked about that. You know, I'm like, good.
Yeah.
As long as they can take something positive from it, by all means.
I'd be curious if they've refreshed the lower tiers and trying to get a little bit more incentive. I don't know. Maybe I'll reach out to Buzzy and say, hey, I'll join this club if you take all my ideas.
All right. Pack win tomorrow night?
Yeah, dude. I think we're going to blow them out. I'm not joking.
Let's go.
Which is like 28-12.
Optimistic October. Let's go. Here for this.
It's MJ time, baby.
MJ time. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, just go pack.
Yeah, go pack. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the site. Thanks for joining the conversation, pod chat, Twitter. No doubt we have the best conversation around going. Sometimes it gets off the rails, but that's what makes it fun. And
you left this other liquor question out too.
That's too much to think about, man. You want to answer this question? Because I'm not answering that question.
If you can only stock your bar with 8 liquors and you can only make cocktails with those liquors, what are you picking up and why? Oh, damn. I didn't read the whole question. I thought he wanted me to knock out like 2 from the list.
No. That was way too much. We'll have to answer that another time. I can't think about that right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a rum guy.
That's actually a good question.
Yeah. It is a good question. I'm a rum guy, though. So mine will have some more rum in there than his.
Hold on. Last question. Ant Smith, over under touchdowns, 0.5.
Over under touchdowns, under. He's going to probably go out of bounds at like the 2. Mims is going to rush it in.
No, I think he's going to get, you know what's going to happen is he's not going to catch a single ball, but he's going to get about 5 pass interferences called on
him. Ian, it counts. I'm counting that towards our bet, whoever's got our bet. I'm counting that towards the 250. He gets 80 yards in PI calls, counting it. Yep.
If he gets 250 yards in 6 games, I'm just going to go donate all the money to the Wolfpack Club.
There you go. They heard it first. Put Ant Smith in. You want Will's money. Put him in. Yep.
It's a secret.
All right. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Hope y'all have a great weekend and enjoy the game tomorrow night. And talk to you soon. Come back.